Well, like so many of our greatest podcasts, this one, I'm calling it. It's going to be one of our greatest right now, because it started as just a conversation we were having in the dressing room before our show in Queens, and I thought, wait a second, stop, everybody, hold that thought, say it again. I want to get the microphone out. We were talking about our experiences of acting for the camera, and I think I'm right in saying that the gist of our advice about acting for the camera is just do more, lots of it. Am I right?
Yeah, big and loud, blink a lot,
okay.
Feel nothing and show everything.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 413, Acting on Camera. This will be my opportunity to give a shout out to Stephen Gyllenhaal, who's a film director and a father of the actors Jake Gyllenhaal and Maggie Gyllenhaal. And I was auditioning to play like an emergency room doctor in a Jessica Lange, Halle Berry movie from the 90s, and I forget what the title of it is. I'll IMDb it later. And I was just, you know, I had five lines or whatever, and I went in and he said, okay, yeah, that was good. Let's take it again. Just go slower. Okay, I did it again. He said, yeah, go slower. Yeah, I did it, must have done it two or three more times. And he went, yeah, now do it one more time. And this time, if it feels like you're going too slow, go slower. And it was like the greatest training for acting for the camera I'd ever seen. You know, I know I'd seen actors that I didn't care for and on film, and I go, they seem panicked. They seem like they don't know what they're doing. It's not, it's something that, it, or things weren't landing. And so I began to understand it when I started auditioning for television. It was totally Stephen Gyllenhaal's advice in my head that I kind of took in with me. I've learned a lot since, I hope. But it also makes me think, that's why I like Jake and Maggie so much as actors. I mean, they seem to be really good actors, and I bet they got a lot of good advice at home. So thank you, Stephen Gyllenhaal, for that film. You didn't need to take that time with me in an audition to play Emergency Room Doctor number 3. You know, but he did. It was great.
Did you go in for things, and then you were just like, the first you think yourself, remember, Austin, just talk a little slower. And you go into the audition, and you just keep all the other ideas you had about the scene, but then just actually speak slower, and you found that paid off.
I found it paid off, but I also found it forced me to establish contact with what I was saying, what I was doing, and who I was acting with. It forced me to make a strong connection with my fellow actors, and I thought that was really... So go slower means so many things, but it forced me to have those connections that I think the camera picks up. It's not a stage performance. I mean, the other thing I came to learn, figure out, I guess, is that on stage, I show it more, feel it less, and on the camera, it's, I don't have to show it at all, but I got to feel it 1,000 times more.
Right. And it will show
and it
enough.
Will, and it does
if,
show.
If you're feeling it. Bill Nighy, is that how you say his name?
I think it's Bill Nighy.
Bill Nighy. Right,
the science guy.
Get the guy.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with him, and he said a couple of funny things. He says, and this is something when my camera acting class at Santa Rosa JC that I teach, is the skill of making these scripted lines, every single one of them, look like you are making them up on the spot.
Yeah.
Not that they're written for you and that they're memorized, but this is a thought. Every single thought is just occurring to you. And how do you make it seem like it's new every time you do it, take after take? And that's a real skill as well. The other thing he said is he got advice early on. When you're acting on camera, don't do anything. And he said, as a result, my first 6 or 8 films, I'm terrible.
What I learned painfully when I first got to LA, and I wish I'd learned it in Chicago, but I guess I didn't even know that I didn't know it to learn it.
Right.
But, you know, I probably should have been in some class. But I looked at myself on an on-camera audition class, and luckily we had this, we'd play stuff back, and I'm like, I'm a blinking, head-bobbing idiot, you know? I gotta just, if I just did that scene, but I wasn't, you know, like trying to semaphore some other different language through to the camera, it might not look half bad.
Right.
And so that was like, it took me a little bit to get it because I think maybe my metabolism is speedy. I talk fast naturally, and I'm running around, my head's moving, I'm blinking. I think that's my natural state.
It's funny, I'm not aware of you working on stage with you as a blinking fool.
Oh, you know, okay, that's cool. Maybe... I don't know what it is.
Was it nerves, or maybe it was just a thing that the camera picks up, but you don't
feel like it was, because I would like I enjoyed the class, and I'd be like, I'd be all ready to do my scene. I'm like, I guess there's nerves still, but I was like, no, I'm ready to do it. I just think I wasn't, you know, wasn't thinking, and then, you know, just a lot of blinking or whatever. And then since then, I started watching actors, and the ones I liked, that even if they weren't pulling in on close-ups, they just aren't blinking. Well, they do whole scenes of surprise and whatever, just crazy, you know, madcap scenes, and I'd see him blink like once.
Yeah.
And well, I thought, that's the connection to the camera. And I wish I could say once I learned this, then, hey, I got my own TV show.
Right.
But I think it doesn't matter, because my own work, now that I see it, I'm like, you know, I see myself not cutting off that connection with the camera / the audience.
Well, and Michael Caine gives a great, is that where you were going?
That's where I was going. This BBC thing that Michael Caine
did. Yeah, Michael Caine did a thing about auditioning. This 20, 30 years ago, maybe, no, now. But he would say, don't blink.
It weakens you.
It weakens you. It makes you look shifty to blink. And he also said another trick is that if you're talking to if the camera's on you over somebody's shoulder, look in the eye of your fellow actor that's closest to the camera.
Yeah.
Then it makes you look in the scene. If you look to the other eye, it makes you look like you're looking off some direction. I mean, that's how.
Look at them. You look at their eye, their partner's eye that's closest to the camera, but use your eye that's furthest from the camera. So that brings it just opens your face up just ever so slightly to the camera, and Michael Caine demonstrates this in the video, and it's great.
Well, and I've had this happen on set, like on the practice, or they would do reversals, and the cameramen would pull, because the directors can't be bothered teaching me how to act, but the cameramen would pull me over to the camera and say, no, you want to be closer here, or they pulled me farther away here. I remember one time on Ally McBeal.
Well, the DP wants your eye line right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think on Ally McBeal, I had some line, and Peter McNichol said to me, he said, you know what, say that line back to me, because I know that the cut they're going to use is the one that's over my shoulder to you, and you'll be saying it to me. I know that's, I know in my heart that's how it's going to work. And he was right. That's the cut they used. I mean, it was that kind of stuff you learn where I'm just on the set going, I have no business being here.
Well, and you don't have to project, right? And you know this, one knows this, and yet when you do it on
just have to talk.
Yeah. I forget what the story was, but somebody was watching somebody work, and they thought they were just having a conversation, and they walked up to say, hey, you need to on set. I said, no, we're rehearsing.
Yeah,
and it should look like a conversation. That's what the camera's trying to capture. There should be no sense that you're acting.
Well, and Rippy said that to me once, because he was directing the Bible tour 5 years ago, and I went over, and I was just telling one of the actors, saying one of the lines from the show, and Rippy said, oh, you're doing the lines from the show. You're acting. I didn't know. Because it's funny that Bill Nye says that you just got to make it look like you're saying it for the first time. That's true in the theater as well. But you've got all those other things of projecting and whatever. So I guess also you get playwrights. Playwrights. You know, and they have final say in the theater. So I put a pause there. I put an ellipse there. I want to hear that ellipse. You know? And that was true on the practice, actually. They told us, David E. Kelly, look, when David E. Kelly underlines a word, you need to hit that word. And they don't want any actor nonsense about, don't tell me what this is. Although I do remember once there was a stage direction where Steve Harris's character, Eugene, on the practice, sheds a single tear. And I said, are you going to work that up yourself? You're going to ask makeup for the glycerin tear? How are you going to do that? He said, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that.
That's the world's greatest response. You won't have it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Stan Lai, the artistic director of the Uzen Theater Festival in China, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? You can see us in the UK and the US this month of November 2014, performing the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised and the complete history of comedy abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader or email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. One of the other things I learned is that it, you know, and particularly the stuff that I was going to say do, but did, used to do on camera is, you know, playing, particularly lawyers, you're sitting at a table. It's just a headshot. It's just a head and shoulder shot. Mm-hmm. And so there's no blocking. You've just got to sit there, except there is blocking. If you lean forward in your chair, that's a major cross down right. Yeah. You know, on stage, even a look up from your legal pad to look at the judge or the witness or something. That's a big blocking move.
I found the one thing, and in auditions and on set, you can always ask and not be a dummy: is what's my frame?
Yeah.
You know, and then if you know it's tight, then you know you have very little range of movement whatsoever. Right. Oh, we're going real wide on you guys. And I'm like, oh, okay, then you're just sitting there and you can do much or little but not be out of the shot. And like, so if you might be working with a director who doesn't talk to actors much,
yeah,
you know, and when they do, they don't really know what to say. Yeah. But like, you can carve your own performance a little easier if you just always know what the frame is. Yeah. You know, it's like...
Well, and you got to be so much stiller. Yeah. In general,
yeah. On Jerry or Ben?
Yeah, both. And Mira, too. You have to stand more still generally on camera. On stage, people don't have to think about it. I mean, mm-hmm. depending on the size of the shot, but frequently,
right.
You have to be pretty still in a way that people aren't used to on stage. Ben Kingsley said a thing about each take he tries to simplify. Mm. And simplify, you know. Yeah. It's like your thing, do less, slower, but do less.
Yeah.
Because...
People, but it's still blocking. It's all blocking. If you're moving your head or your eyes, I guess that, you know, right. For the stage or for the screen. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
And what people who are new to it don't necessarily think is, okay, well, if you pick up your pencil and write on this line, every single take from now on, you're going to have to pick up your pencil on that syllable and write in exactly the same way. And say, you know, it's like why they don't like to use cigarettes, because you have to match the ash length.
Yeah.
And you have to take the draw on the same word.
Well, there's the move that, like, before I ever might have done this, before I ever might have done this, I heard that, like, editors love the actor who will keep the same moves but change their performance, but keep the same light of the cigarette, but now I'm lighting it angry. Now I'm lighting it a little less angrily. Now I'm lighting it with them rolling my eyes. You know, it's like, but at the same thing, so they can always cut to that dude or woman who's doing that move, but they get a little bit different of a thing out of it, you know, and keep the same moves.
If anybody's ever seen my episode of The West Wing, I have two scenes in that episode, and you'll notice that I kind of disappear in the second one. I kind of go away. And it's because, talk about blocking, that this doesn't work. I did a thing where I took a sip of coffee in the middle of my colleague saying something stupid. So now I'm looking over the top of
in preparing to do a spit take?
Not a spit take, but it just like, I wasn't going to do that. But now I'm looking over my cup of coffee at my guy, and it's just so bitty. You know, it's just so bitty. They went, don't cut to him for the rest of the scene. So that's where he went. But every now and then, you know, I remember some look I was giving on the practice, and you know, and I went, I didn't think anybody was catching this at all. But the director said, you know what, we got to go back on Austin because he's giving a look here that I want to see. I'll cut to that. I remember once in 24, a scene that they ended up cutting. I had to react to some. Torture that was happening. They were torturing Harris Yulin. And this is why all the people who get pissed off at me for voting to impeach President Palmer, you know, I say, they cut the scene where I'm watching him torture the dude. So that's why I voted no. So I had to film, I had to just shoot pretend reaction shots because I wasn't watching anything. But, you know, the direction I was getting was from the cameraman, just from the cameraman who was going, he just brought his hand down,
like
making
it
like less. But and then a couple times he went, yeah. And they would give me a thumbs up and then a big okay sign. It's like, cool, thank you.
Well, that's like the Jack Lemmon story, his first movie being directed by Billy Wilder. What was the movie?
Do we know? The Apartment, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know. And so he's coming, he's just off the New York stage, and they shoot the take, and Billy Wilder says, okay, great, less.
Yeah.
And okay, go again. Okay, cut, less. Cut less. And finally Jack Lemmon says, well, Billy, if I do any less, I won't be acting at all. And Billy Wilder says, exactly.
Right. Well, and that's the definition of acting or acting.
Well,
he was acting instead of just acting.
Yeah, and that he's doing so much, clearly he's feeling it internally. So if it feels like he's doing nothing, something is going on. He just doesn't have to show it. So that's my guess.
Yes, I think that's right.
What's your story of working on a show with David Caruso?
Yeah. I was auditioning for CSI Miami and playing a lawyer, a sleazy lawyer, representing a suspected terrorist who probably was one. And in the middle of my audition, I took my glasses off as I said, "Come on, Horatio." And she, the casting director, said, "All right, stop, cut." Because she was filming it to send to the director. Cut. I went, "Oh God, you're right. That's David Caruso's move."
Oh, taking off your glasses in the middle of a line for emphasis.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't even conscious of it. Yeah, she just said, "Yeah, do it again. Do it again without the glasses. Without the glasses, that'll be fine."
I remember we had a camera acting class in grad school at UCSD, and we were going to shoot a scene. And one of my, you know, it's grad school. You're running 83 different ways.
Right.
And one of my classmates didn't have her lines memorized. Mm. And the guy was teaching the class used to direct Bewitched and lots of episodic television. Nicest guy in the world. And so she blows her line. He says, "Cut. Let's go again." And they go again. She still doesn't know her. She doesn't know her lines.
Right.
Cut. Let's go again. Cut. And to the point where the rest of us are sitting, you know, watching and just squirming. It's like, shall we move on? You know, let's move on. She doesn't know it. And but he was making a point.
Yeah.
On the day, there's nothing to move on to. You have to know your lines.
Right. That's true.
I mean, it was, and I've never forgotten that.
Yeah. You don't get rehearsal. You have to know your lines, like wash your dishes, doing the lines. You can't. Especially coming in as a guest star, there's no room for rehearsing you, and they don't have any patience for it, and you gotta know it.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know your lines, who's gonna do it? We're shooting this thing; time is money, you know. So it was he was giving a very good, and it was very hard on her.
Yeah.
But boy, I never forgot it.
And lots of big actors have said they thought they knew their lines coming to set, and they didn't.
Yeah.
But they thought they knew them just lollygagging them in their hotel room, and probably really thought they did, but they didn't when everything's flushing, moving around, and other people are talking, and the camera's there, and, you know, it's all big, you know, high energy, big pressure. They didn't know them.
It's hard. You got to know it cold, and you kind of you have to have your own instincts about it. You have to have rehearsed it. You have to have done it maybe with other actors or your wife or spouse.
Your coach or your coach or
whoever.
That's true, and you don't get rehearsed. So like we do.
No. Well, and Anthony Hopkins, another interview I saw, he says, you know, somebody says, "How do you prepare?" He says, "I'm not method." He says, "I just read that script and I read that script and I read that script."
I love that. That's a great tactic. He just, by that time, he knows everything about it.
Yeah.
Everybody's lines, not just his own.
Yeah. He says, "I could learn what I had for breakfast. That probably won't help me, but, you know, then I learn my lines and I say them again and again, and then I say them backwards, and then I say them forwards, and then I read the whole script again." So that, I mean, I think so many younger actors think, well, I just need to have it memorized. No, that's the first step, right? If you're not memorized, then you're not really acting. You're trying to remember lines, and that's not the thing. But it's got to be so second nature that you're just behaving, and the lines come naturally.
I'm glad we got into this, because, this is a big thing, really, because I've known a lot of actors who, like, they just think they know their lines until then you have to work with them, and they didn't, really.
Yeah.
They didn't do... That's the boring part of acting. People don't know. Everybody does it. They're sitting in their hotel room.
Yeah.
That's the non-glamorous part. You're sitting there going, "All right, let's run it again."
Yeah.
You know, by yourself, probably.
Yeah. Well,
maybe with a friend going, you know, until you really have it beyond beyond reason.
And these leading actors on television particularly, they're getting new scripts every single week. So they got to clear the hard disk and learn the next day's lines.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for guest stars because you have to come in, know your game, and you don't have the benefit of knowing all these folks.
Yeah.
And you got to fit into the vibe almost immediately.
Yeah. Well, people ask, and you guys must get this question, from non-actors, how do you learn all these lines? It gets easier the more you practice it, you know, and you get skilled at it, and you start to think, well, what are the thoughts behind these lines? Although you need the words exactly, but it's as Dom said, you just go over it and over it and over it.
A lot of it is, I think, what stops people is fear.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're afraid it won't quite work out, or if they put their all into it, then there still might be problems, which there's usually some problem anyway. But so then they don't quite work as hard as they possibly really could.
The thing
that you have to do every single time.
Yeah. The thing that helps me learn the lines is knowing the whole script, like Sir Anthony does, and also just looking carefully at the scene around it, looking at other people's lines, because often the line before your line will affect what you are about to say. There will be similar language.
You can't know the scene if you don't know all the lines. I mean, really, every single line.
Right. You've got
where
to
the blocking is and all that.
There
and
are
once
cues.
You know it, you could change anything if you know it that well.
There are. I mean, when people tell us that, you know, could I say the line this way in one of the RSC shows? And you know, sometimes if it comes out of your mouth more easily that way, but other times it's like, well, if it's not a joke or a punchline, there is kind of a reason it's said that way, you know, or there is a reason. If you think about why it was written or the language being used for this character, it will make sense, but I don't think
we don't want a new story told here.
Yeah. Right. You know, and I think that's what some actors go, well, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would, because A, I wrote it, and B, I wrote the character, and C,
You're getting paid to do it that
and
way.
And C, you're getting paid. And D, you just haven't done the work to understand how this character speaks yet.
Well, if you don't know the whole script and what everybody else is doing, so much of camera work is subtext. It's not the words.
Right.
It's what you're thinking behind the words. So yeah. If you're doing it literally, it's probably not what is intended.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right.
One definite last thing is, if anybody out there is thinking of performing, I mean, I'd say don't do what I did and not take camera acting seriously. You know, I just was so involved with the stage, and I was working on the craft of that, and there's plenty of that, and so I just threw myself into that. But I had the time to do camera acting too, and I just didn't give it all the weight that it should have. Mm-hmm. And now, especially when anyone can make movies a lot easier, cameras are cheaper, people are making careers on YouTube, you can actually learn, if you're doing a YouTube videos, you could learn camera acting to make your YouTube videos better. Yeah. And it needn't cost you a ton of money, or if any. Yeah. There's so many ways to research now and rehearse and work on that stuff. Yeah. Don't miss out. Well, do that. Take those classes. Get those skills now. It can only help.
And that is valuable advice from Best Actor, Glendale International Film Festival.
Hello.
Dominic Conti, right there. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your camera acting tips via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You could also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, least actor Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Robin Duckworth. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Stan Lai, artistic director of the Wuchen Theater Festival in Wuchen, China. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 113 1239ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Have been lucky, hugely lucky. I got to learn about acting for camera on camera. You know, that's where I got to do all of that. I mean, fortunately, I had some chops from doing the stage, so I kind of knew the basic skills, but I learned all the tricks kind of while I was doing it.
And I wish I could do it some more.
Pathetic, really.
Well, tragic.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.